Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Inside the Game with me, Shaqui. I'm your host. Tonight we got a very special guest. Her name is Cheryl Cooley from the legendary group Climax, one of the very first female all-band groups. And I think you guys are going to enjoy our conversation. Tonight we're going to talk about how you're going to stay in the game, how to stay employed, how to keep things going. So please feel free to call in and let's have some conversations about where you guys want to go, and definitely talk about Michelle Cooley. While we're at it, man, drop Real Divas Need Love, too. So. How you guys doing? You're back with Inside the Game with tonight's guest, Ms. Cheryl Cooley from Climax. You know, I had to play that song. I like that song. And in talking to Cheryl, she told me she liked the song. So let's talk to Cheryl.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
When I talked to you, you said you liked that song. And
that's actually one
of my favorite songs. We're going to get to the hits, guys. We're going to get to the hits. We're going to get to the hits. But that was just a little something from me and Cheryl. I really like that joint. So let's talk. You guys are one of the first female all bands. You know,
well,
there wasn't really
a whole lot
of girls that played music that were in a band. So that was really something new. How did that come about?
Well, you know, we're the first all R&B band. I mean, there was other female rock bands, but we were and still are the only R&B all-female band that has charted on Billboard. And,
wow.
You know, everybody in the band has their own story as to how, you know, we all got in the band. It was almost like fate kind of threw us together. One girl was, you know, we advertised in a magazine that sold furniture and, you know, used goods, and we put an ad in for a musician, answered it, and I was in a rehearsal with another band, and, you know, a couple of the girls just walked in and said, you don't want to play with them, you want to come play with us.
Well,
you know, one girl.
So you guys were bold from the beginning.
Right, exactly. Well, what the, you know, lead vocalist, she had a, you know, originally auditioned for Rolls Royce, and they sent her over to us, you know. So everybody really has their own story as to how, you know, we all kind of got thrown together.
Because you're not, most of the original band was from L.A. You're from Chicago, right?
Well, I mean, that's my roots, but, you know, I've lived in Los Angeles, you know, most of my life. So, yeah, we all originated from Los Angeles.
That's amazing. And you guys are signed to what label were you guys signed to?
Okay, we just recently signed to MPRE, Sony Records, Multi-Platinum Record Entertainment, Sony Records, and they just released a single on us called My Way This Time. You know,
congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, it's just been a great relationship. It's, you know, just getting started, but, you know, they work fast. I wasn't expecting to work so fast, but I'm glad that they are so, you know, efficient in what they say that they're going to do.
They're good. That means they believe in you.
Oh, yeah. And also, we just recently signed with a new management, MEC Management out of Texas with David Brown. And he's been really supportive and, you know, believes in the Climax legacy. And with the partnership of the two of them, they're actually putting together a world tour for us. And we actually start August 1st.
Oh, so you're going to let us know the date so we can keep our fans posted, right?
Awesome. Yes. I mean, you know, you can always check out our website at climax.com. That's KLYMAXX.com. We've always post the shows on our website where we're going to be. I mean, it's going to be a lot of places, you know, and we're really excited about it. You know, it's been a dream come true to be able to, you know, get back out there and entertain the fans and, you know, really show new fans, you know, and people that, you know, are not familiar with Climax that, you know, women can get up there and perform, you know, on stage. It's not impossible. It's not impossible to follow a dream.
I have a question for you. Who did most of the writing and producing on some of the old stuff? And I know you did some of the stuff on the new stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, actually, I actually wrote the single that got Climax the record deal. It was called Never Underestimate the Power of a Woman. You know, a lot of people don't know that song, but it was actually our first single. A lot of people don't realize that we actually had five albums, and we really didn't hit big until the third album was Meeting in the Ladies Room. So, you know, we all really wrote music together. You know, everybody contributed music to the band.
And you wrote most of the new album?
It's still in progress. I'm not going to say I'm writing all of it. You know, I mean, I'm always you know, in search of a hit, you never know where it's going to come from. So, I mean, you know, I'm always open for, you know, new ideas and new talent and stuff like that. So, I mean, I'm into sharing the spotlight and the talent. So I'm not going to just do it all on my own.
Let me ask you a question. How important do you think it is for these young kids to really understand what music and production is? A lot of these kids don't really understand production as well as they should. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I mean, let's get one understanding. To be a composer, a writer, a lyricist is different than being a producer. You know, a lot of people get excited about having the title of producer, thinking that that means, you know, the overall gamut of the song. But a producer is really just the conductor in the studio. I mean, you should have the song content already by the time it gets to the producer. Now, it's different if the producer is the writer. Of course, there's many, many producers out there that are actually composers. And I don't take anything away from them. But I think in today's terms, we really get confused with saying, you know, so-and-so is a producer, meaning that so-and-so writes. And he just happens to have, you know, a studio or a multi-track recorder, and he can, you know, manipulate sounds into this recorder. But there's a lot more to being a producer. I mean, you know, I'll even say back in the day, if not now, you know, a producer also took on scheduling musicians coming in to, you know, maybe play a solo, scheduling the right vocalist for the right song line. So it really is a lot of understanding of the song content and the song structure that a producer should know. Now, as far as a writer, a composer, I mean, you know, we can compose a song on a, you know, a two-track analog tape recorder with a vocal and, you know, a guitar or a little Casio keyboard. I mean, you know, a song can be written from some of the most minimal basic elements, you know, but that doesn't make you a producer. That's, you know, you're a writer, you're a composer. And, you know, there have been great songs that have been written with, you know, just minimal things, with a vocal and a guitar, a vocal and a keyboard, or, you know, somebody just kind of humming what's going on in the music. So that's actually a composer. You know, it's awesome when a composer can sit down and actually score it out, as they call it, you know, actually take and write the notes down on a piece of paper, you know, but there are many people who don't write music like that. And it's not to say there's right or wrong. It's just that's the way it is.
So do you read and write or do you play by ear?
Oh, no, I read and write. I actually have a college degree in commercial music. And that's actually what sparked my participation in the band. When I walked into that rehearsal room, you know, nobody really knew how to read music. And I was able to write out charts, you know, like listening to other songs on the radio and write out charts, you know, and even though they couldn't read it, I was able to, you know, write it out for myself to show each person what, you know, what should be performed or what should be played on their instrument for that particular song. So, I mean, having a music degree and having musical training, it really was the basic foundation of my music career.
See, a lot of people thought you guys were just pretty faces. I remember a quote from some producers. They said, man, these girls can really play. And that was like a big surprise to a lot of people. And I remember even watching your guys' story where they said it on TV, these guys were like, man, these girls can really play. And that was something a lot of people didn't really understand. So now we're understanding that you can not only play, but you can read and write more than just a pretty face. And I try to explain that to a lot of young artists, that you have to be more than just a pretty face, because you got to be able to sell the product, and you got to have a product to sell. And I know marketing you guys was a nightmare and a dream for a marketing person, because you got these beautiful women. But you got to really go to radio, and I've gone to radio with records before, and you have to really say, there's an all-girl band, and they look at you like you're speaking French or something. What?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. You know, I mean, there are stories that, you know, many a female musician will have in going to a, you know, a club or a jam session, you know, with their instrument, and everybody's looking at them like, what do you think you're going to do with that? You know, so, you know, we had to cross that hurdle to really show that, you know, we could play. I mean, luckily we got involved with a record company that believed in what we were doing and really promoted us. But sometimes, you know, being a female musician, you don't have that support system, and you just have to keep pushing and plugging and, until, you know, you get to your niche that you want to be a performer in.
If you had to give some advice to a young artist coming up, male or female, and we'll get into that, but a young artist, period, what would be your first advice to give them?
Well, first of all, don't give up. There could be, I'm not going to say there's always, but there could be, you know, disappointments. And a lot of times people will say, oh, that's not going to work, or, you know, what are you doing that for? The biggest thing is to believe in yourself, believe in your product, believe in what you're trying to perform and display to your audience. That's the biggest hurdle. Because, you know, for the first time, some young people and young artists here know, they, you know, give up. And you just can't give up. If you believe in yourself, if you believe in your product, if you believe in your song, you just have to keep past those no's. I mean, you know, Climax had a ton of no's. You know, we had, you know, every record company told us no except for one. And all you need is that one yes to walk through the door of success. You know, there was one record company that told us, no, we can't sign an all-female band because what if you all get pregnant at the same time? And it's like, you know what? That actually might work because then we get it all out the way. You know, it was just any excuse. And so even in today, you know, somebody could say, well, no, you know, I don't want your band to play here because, you know, you play too many slow songs. You know, it could be anything. You know, you get into another club and that's all they want you to play.
Right.
Because you, the first no does not mean you give up.
I have another question. How do you stay paid in this game? How do you stay in this game? This is a rough trade. I mean, we've all picked a very rough trade. This is a rough trade. How did you stay employed and motivated to make this happen? These young kids, they think that they really don't understand getting a record deal is not the end of the road, nor is, you know, maybe getting a BET award. And I am very, you know, respectful to all the awards, but getting an award or going gold or selling a half a million or a million is just the beginning. How do you stay after the multi-platinum sales? How do you stay? How do you stay employed? How do you keep moving and creating?
Oh, you know, again, if you have the passion, you just have to keep pushing yourself. Because if you don't follow your passion, it's going to eat away at you, either mentally, physically, emotionally. You just have to keep pushing forward. I mean, yes, you know, after for Climax, I mean, after the music industry kind of changed its sound in the 90s, we found ourselves not having a record deal anymore. And it was devastating. I'm not gonna lie to you. It was devastating, you know, because then it's like, well, this is what I plan to do for the rest of my life, and now what? So, I mean, we each have our own story as to what we did in, you know, a 10-year period where, you know, I became an electrician. You know, somebody else took some other type of job. But in becoming an electrician, what it prepared me to do was to develop skills so that when I did have the opportunity to perform music again, I had the skill set to know how to build my own rehearsal studio.
Ugh.
So, you know, was it a detour? Maybe not. But it was a point in my life where I had to learn a trade, and then it in turn, elevated my musical my music in the sense of having a place and a space to rehearse. I mean, I don't have to go to a rehearsal studio and, you know, pay $50 an hour or $100 an hour. I had the skill set to be able to build my own rehearsal studio. So was being an electrician wrong or bad? Well, you know, hindsight shows, well, no, it wasn't. It was something that needed to be done. So we never know what our lives, our paths, our musical journey is going to take us through. It's not bad or good. It's how you look at the situation. Just because, again, somebody says no, that doesn't mean it's the end of your life, the end of your career, the end of your dreams. It just means take another road, take another detour, take another path, ask somebody else.
Okay. I agree. On that note, we're going to listen to – what's your choice you want to hear here?
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, you know, how about I still say yes.
Isn't that what Howard Hewitt? The game with Michelle Cooley is our guest tonight. Matt Howard Hewitt is just wow.
Yeah.
There's a reason why they call him the Golden Throat. It just is what it is. I'm very appreciative. of other things that he's put together. We definitely have him on the show. But, you know, you, I wanted to ask you, what's the new sound of Climax? Where's Climax going from here, building on the legacy? Where's, what's the next elevational step for Climax?
Well, you know, Climax is always about, you know, positive lyrics, empowering lyrics. You know, we're definitely going to keep that that going. And, you know, also the funky sound, the dance music, you know, the get up and shake your booty music.
And the great ballads. We're going to get some more great ballads.
Oh, yeah, of course, yes.
Oh, got to have those.
Yes.
I mean, Climax has these great, great ballads.
Yeah.
Missing You, which is probably my favorite ballad from you guys. Besides, I'd say yes. But when you guys working on projects, do you guys work collaborative or do you guys work individually?
No, we collaborate. Yeah. We definitely were all able to participate in the albums and the songs, and as well as collaborate with some of the other artists that were on the same label.
Okay. If you had some advice to give to a young lady that was starting out now, what would be your advice?
Definitely, you know, learn your craft, learn your art. Just because, you know, if somebody says you have a great voice, and you get out there and you sing a couple of talent shows, you know, don't stop learning. If it means to take, you know, voice lessons, any type of music lessons, the more you know musically, the more you'll be able to sustain yourself in the music industry. Learn how to play an instrument, you know, if for no other reason than to accompany yourself or to be able to communicate with other instruments. I mean, a lot of times vocalists, they may know what they hear in their head, but they can't relate it and communicate it to the other musicians. So if you have an opportunity to learn how to play an instrument, I strongly recommend that any young musician, male or female, learn how to play some sort of instrument. It's really important to sustain yourself. Because, I mean, if you're going to go to an audition and, you know, they're going to have 500 vocalists and maybe 20 guitars, 5 bassists, you know, 15 drummers. Had you, you know, I don't know, picked up that bass and you learned how to play it, then you could be in the shorter line. As opposed to being in the line with all those hundreds of vocalists. You know, and it makes you stand out, you know, among the rest. I mean, if you know how to do something more than the you know, the vocalist next to you, than the drummer next to you, you know, if a drummer knows how to play keyboards and drums, I mean, they'll probably be hired first. The more talent you have, or I should say, the more crafts that you have, the more opportunities you have to play other instruments, the more likely you'll be hired for that particular session.
So I take it you are really enjoying that live music is actually bringing a comeback, especially in urban music. Not to downgrade anything else, but we have stopped playing instruments for a long time. We stopped playing live music. We did a lot of sampling and reproduction, and now that live music and instruments are coming back on the urban side, because country and rock has never stopped, and Latin have never stopped, but in urban music, there was really a host of live music.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, just to show you how true that statement is, when I go into a music store that sells instruments, the salesperson looks at me like, are you in the wrong place, you know? I'm black and I'm female, and they're looking at me like, okay, you made a wrong turn somewhere. And that's unfortunate because, you know, there should be a lot more, you know, I don't care if it's black, white, green, purple, but there should be all sorts of colors in there, you know, not stand out because you're any certain color, not stand out because, you know, you're a different gender. I mean, yeah, there's definitely more male musicians than female musicians, but it shouldn't be an oddity, I guess is a word, for a female to walk into a music store. It shouldn't be like, oh, my God, she's in the wrong place. It should really be a normal thing.
Right. And she's right. You know, if you stop being a lead singer, there's a lot of guys, Babyface included, who go back behind the scenes and write and produce. And there's a lot of females who have done the same things. The more talented you are in other aspects, the more valuable you become. I guess the old statement is, if you're not a debt, you're an asset. And when you become an asset to a company or a production or whatever, you become utilized more. And a lot of these kids want to become songwriters, and they think because somebody told them that they can write a couple good choruses that they're songwriters. Could you kind of explain to them that, you know, you have to really work to be a songwriter? You have to really work to be in this industry.
Well, you know, you have to have or you have to write a song that people are going to remember when they turn the radio off. You know, there has to be something about the song that's going to, as they call, a hook. Not, you know, and not everyone listens to music the same way. So you have to really kind of stand outside of your ego, you know, and write music for someone else who's going to listen to it and, you know, remember it 15 minutes later. I mean, think about those times when you hear a song on the radio, and it might be a song you don't even like, and you turn it off, and for some reason you're singing it all day. That's a sign of a good song. That's the kind of song that you want to write. Is, you know, whether they like the song or they don't like the song, when they turn that dial off, they're still singing it the next morning. And so in that case, when they are still singing it, they're going to go, you know, iTunes and buy the song because I can't stop singing it in my head, you know. That's the kind of song that you want to write, you know.
Okay, something that's always catchy and moves forward. Yeah,
right,
I agree with that. I guess we're going to go in to you know, the menopause. I absolutely love this track. You guys did a phenomenal song on this. I love this. And, you know, I want you guys to call in, talk to Cheryl, ask her questions. Feel free to ask her questions. That's why we brought her here, so she can help you understand the inside of this game and how you stay in this game. So can we go to, I guess, Meeting in the Ladies Room? I want to hear that one real quick.
Okay, sure. Sure.
All right.
All right.
Uh-oh. I had to leave my condo to come to this. Well, I'm back, but this time I'm with my man. And these women are putting their hands all over his Yamamoto Kanzan sweater that I bought. And I'm much, much unhappy about that. I'd hate to come down to the level and become a BW, a basic woman. But if they don't stop, it's gonna get scandalous. Thank you. Don't slap me, 'cause I'm not in the mood. Don't slap me, 'cause I'm not in the mood. Don't slap me, 'cause I'm not in the mood. Don't slap me, 'cause I'm not in the mood.
Welcome back. We're getting ready to end this show. We thank Ms. Cooley for her time, her education, definitely, her experience in talking to us. I'm going to let Ms. Cooley pick this song out after this last conversation. Let's talk about where you think music is going to go for you guys.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's interesting. I had a conversation with a promoter who said to me, you know, the old sound is coming back. You know, the old school sound is coming back. And I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah. And then that kind of sparked other things kind of signaling, or maybe I guess I'm paying attention now, either way.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think people are, you know, old school music has stayed alive because the listeners still want to go to the concerts and buy the tickets. And you know what? I truly appreciate that for sure. So in saying that, you know, I think the music industry, the listeners, the promoters, the producers, they notice that and see that, you know, the old school sound has never died. Let's capitalize on that. And I think that's great. You know, it's because there's a substance to it that is really kind of missing of late, you know, the late music, that the old school music, the old sound still kept it going. And I think that's what people are leaning toward.
I'll say this because I know you won't. It's missing heart and soul.
Man.
I know you're trying to not create enemies, but the honesty is,
I'm trying to be nice.
It's missing heart and soul. Every three words is not garden to a female dog. And, you know, there was an artist that got an award. I mean, there was a host of a award show that said, stop coming up here and acting like y'all ain't been raised. Y'all know how to act. We want good music. Everything in our community is not bad. And we have to start putting out more positive images. And we know this, but there's every other culture. And I'll say this as I can. I don't want nobody getting offended. So if you have a problem, you can email me. We have to stop putting out negative images. There's things that go on in our community that we all know about. But at the same time, there's music that you want to play in front of your wife, your kids, you know, your pastor, your mama, you know, things that you can actually play at the barbecue when old people come. You know, you don't have to bleep every word. I have no problem. I love hip-hop. I was born and raised, cut my teeth on hip-hop. But
yeah, I
hip-hop
agree.
Was based on some real stuff. And everything in our community is not negative. And we have to start bringing back our music. We act like we're scared to play our own music. But other artists, name nameless, are playing our music and succeeding, because the reason the Motown sound is still there is because people love the music. The Stax, the Chess, the old stuff, even the older R&B stuff from the 80s and 90s, because people want to have some fun. We have to stop walking around in our community in a downtrodden. We have to move forward and have some fun with what we do and be creative and be able to play the music in front of our loved ones and have fun with it. In saying that, that's me. I'm Shaki Abdul. You can hit me personally at ShakiAbdul@gmail.com, personally. You can hit me personally. This is not the show's opinion or, you know, the station's opinion. This is my opinion. So don't blame Cheryl, blame me. This is me saying what actually all y'all want to say. But I love where the sound is going. But if you look at cats like Bruno Mars and a lot of these guys, they're going back and getting you guys' original sounds. You know, hip-hop has always done Parliament and James Brown. So we've never lost it. We just have to kind of be able to look each other in the eye and say, that's a good song, brother. That's a good song, sister. Instead of having this attitude. I didn't mean to take up your time, but it just has to be said this. That way you ain't have to take the heat. I'll take the heat on that, but the reality is, you know, I have my own label, and I want to bring back real good music and fun music. And so I grew up listening, you know, to certain artists as you did, and I wanted to definitely say that our music is what keeps the world moving. Our music is great, and we got to get back to that greatness. And I'm glad to see artists like you out there still willing to put it on the line, make the changes, even work with young artists, work with young writers, you know, to listen to their music that may, you know, be able to make it to your next album or on your project or even get influenced or, you know, be able to have an interaction with you so they can learn. So we wanted to put this show together, me and the producer of this show, Master Green, and my co-host who isn't on right now, Alicia Castro. We wanted to put together this show because we felt there were some things that needed to be said, and we couldn't say it, even though, you know, we all have backgrounds in certain things. But it needs to be said from those who made the game, who teach the game, who helped create the game, and those who are movers and shakers, past and present. And so we appreciate your time. We love you. We wish you the best of luck. Hopefully we can get you to come back. I'm trying to get her to come on the show a little more, y'all. But I think she's a great artist. She's doing great things, and I'm really appreciative that you're carrying forth the legacy of Climax and showing these young girls that you can be sexy and sassy and still have some class to what you do in your music. You guys are phenomenal, all of you guys. The old Climax, the new Climax, we appreciate you all. We love you. And we definitely are here going to support you here at Culture Z Media. And what song do you want to go out on? What song do you want to go out on, Lady Choice?
Well, since you were talking about missing the music, let's play I Miss You.
And Ms. Cooley, before we go into that song, can you give your social media information or ways where people can contact you or your management so they can actually get your feedback and those things?
Yeah, again, our website is climax.com, KLYMAXX.com. Our social media is facebook.com/climaxmusic. You know, all of our links to our social media is on climax.com. You can always contact our management, MEC Management. I think it's MECManagementTX.com. And, you know, I'm out there on Facebook all the time. I invite your listeners to, you know, check out the band and find me, Cheryl Cooley, on Facebook. And let's just make this music better and more fun and, you know, show our creativity to the world.
On that note, you guys have a good night. And always remember, he may not come when you call, but he's always on time. Peace. Play I Miss You, man, on the way out.